What's up, everyone? Thank you for joining us. My name is Pastor Nick, and I'm so excited that you've decided to be a part of today's experience. We are in our series, our February series, where we have been talking about, you know, this idea of guarding your heart and really talking about what that means. So we started with part one last week. And so if you haven't had a chance to watch that, you can certainly go to our website, yourgrovechurch.org. Take a look at it there, or you can join our YouTube channel and you can see past messages there as well. Today, we're talking about part two of our series, Guard Your Heart. We're looking at part two today. And so let's jump right on in and hear what the Lord is speaking through today's message. So we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, we're looking at verses 5 through 10. And I'm going to share, we'll read this message. I'll share our message title for today's installment, and then we will pray and get right into what God has to say for us, or to us, I should say. All right. So Jeremiah chapter 17, here's what it says. And in some Bibles, you might have this header for Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 10 that says, wisdom from the Lord. And that's really what we're receiving today, really what we receive from scripture in general. But this specific passage of scripture is titled Wisdom from the Lord. All right, so here's what it says. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 10. Let's jump in. So it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Remember, guard your heart. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. We'll talk about what that means in just a moment. Verse 7, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord. So let's pause for just a moment. First half of our passage, we see cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. And then we see Jeremiah start walking through, you know, this prophecy. He starts walking through what that looks like in real time and what that means for someone. And then the second half, starting with verse 7, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Let's keep reading. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried about long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. All right, here's the purpose. Here's why we're talking about this. Verse 9 through 10. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So let's pause just for a moment. Verse 5 through 6, Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. Verse 7-8, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord. And then we look at verse 10 where it says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So on one end, you have the person who turns their heart away from the Lord. And then on the other hand, you have someone who turns their heart towards the Lord, who puts their trust in the Lord. And we see that the first person is cursed and the latter is blessed. So here's what we're talking about today. We are talking about part two, second installment of our series, Guard Your Heart. The title of this message is The Flaw of Following Your Heart. The Flaw of Following Your Heart. All right, so let's go ahead and pray and we'll jump right in. Lord, we thank you for today's message. We thank you for how you're going to speak to us, God, how you're going to breathe life into us through your word. God, I pray that those who are listening to this message, we wouldn't just hear it, God, as another sermon, God, but we would be doers of your word, meaning we would apply this word to our day-to-day life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So we're looking at those two sides of the coin, the cursed person who turns their heart away from the Lord and the blessed one who puts their trust in the Lord. You know, growing up in church and around church folk, there's certain phrases that you just grow to know. And unfortunately, they're popularized in the church. And a lot of these phrases, you hear them and you hear them so frequently, especially from church folk, that you start to think that they've got to be scriptural. They've got to have some biblical basis. And really, they aren't. And so, for example, I'm going to give you a few for example. So you might hear someone say, money is the root of all evil. And oftentimes you might hear this in reference to a pastor, who's described as, a pastor who is preaching about profit and gaining. And you might hear that type of phrase, you know, put out to that type of pastor. Or you might hear, you know, someone, describe, you might say the phrase, this too shall pass, right? And so you have this phrase where, but people mean well, right? Like they're just trying to encourage someone that the difficult time that they're going through is not going to last always and that they'll get over this too. But it's not biblical. It's not exactly what the Bible says. The next phrase you might hear from the older generation, right? Someone who preaches about, someone who might say something like cleanliness is next to godliness. And so they're preaching this message of both physical and mental and even spiritual cleanliness, right? And trying to say that, hey, like we got to keep ourselves together. And really what they're doing is they're trying to speak this spirit of excellence over you by saying this. But again, it's not necessarily what the Bible says. And then the next one is this, God works in mysterious ways. Have you ever heard someone say that phrase or someone try to encourage you with that when something happens and you don't understand why it may have happened? I get it. They mean well. They're just trying to encourage you. And yes, God does work in mysterious ways. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. So we may not understand everything that he does, but the Bible doesn't exactly say that God works in mysterious ways. And then it brings us to our last phrase, right? This phrase, follow your heart. Unless you've been living under a rock, I'm sure you've heard that phrase. And again, someone's trying to encourage another person when they say follow your heart. But the reality is that this is not biblical. While some of these phrases may sound biblical, they aren't, especially when we think about the phrase follow your heart, especially that one. Not only is this not biblical, but it's completely contradictory to what the Word of God actually teaches. So Jeremiah says in chapter 17, verse 5 through 10, what he says is, he says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So to tell someone to follow this thing that the Bible describes as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and no one really knows how bad it is actually pretty bad advice. Yet I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard this or heard others give this advice using this phrase. It's often like the cookie cutter response when someone needs to make a difficult decision. The encouragement from someone else is, hey man, just follow your heart. Like, or hey girl, like just follow your heart, right? That's oftentimes the encouragement. But listen to this quote from Chris Nye of Relevant Magazine. Here's what he says. He says, the origin of the phrase, follow your heart, is unclear. But there is an overwhelming cultural sense that this is the thing we are to do when faced with difficult decisions. It is seemingly harmless and encouraging, but what is actually being communicated when this advice is given is when someone tells us to follow our heart, it's really not advice, but a vague encouragement to do whatever it is we wanted to do in the first place. So you can get a sense of why follow your heart is not great advice at all. In part one of our series, we explored how to guard our heart. And we talked about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts when we rejoice continually, when we're considerate of others, when we love our neighbors, and when we don't worry about things, but we pray about them. And so today we're talking about the implications of following your heart. Again, I'm going to read this quote again because I thought it was really helpful. Again, it says this from Chris Nye, Relevant Magazine. The origin of the phrase follow your heart is unclear, but there is an overwhelming cultural sense that this is the thing we are to do when faced with difficult decisions. It is seemingly harmless and encouraging, but what is actually being communicated when the advice is given? When someone tells us to follow our heart, it's really not advice, but a vague encouragement to do whatever it is we wanted to do in the first place. And so as we look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and we talk about the flaw of following your heart, we're really talking about the implications there. And we'll look at what it means to follow our heart and what it means for us when we choose to follow God. So we'll look at both sides of that coin, because there is something that Jeremiah chapter 17 is speaking to us when it comes to following our heart. All right, so get ready to write this down because I think this is going to be really helpful. So the first thing that we have to understand, right, from Jeremiah chapter 17, what it teaches us when it comes to following our heart. The first thing that it tells us is cursed are those who follow the heart. Cursed are those who follow the heart. Not blessed, not, you know, you're going to make, you know, the decision that makes you happy, or you're going to do the thing that's going to have the best outcome. No, it says cursed are those who follow the heart. So Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5-6 puts it this way. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. So here's the reality. The reality is that you can't have it both ways. You can't live apart from God and expect there to be peace in your life, like we talked about last week. When Jeremiah prophesies that the man who trusts in man is cursed, what he's really saying is that choosing to follow your heart over following God will only bring about pain. It's only going to bring about suffering. It's only going to bring about letdown and disappointment and heartbreak and all of the above. You name it. When we choose to follow our heart over following God's word or what God is speaking to us even, we're only going to lead ourselves to destruction, right? So you can't have it both ways. You can't follow your heart and do the things that God has called you to do. Because again, the heart is deceitful above all things. And so our intention, our focus has to be on following God. You can't put your trust in humans and rely on someone other than God, you know, to help you, right? Like you can't put your trust in humans and rely on someone other than God without your heart following suit and therefore departing from God altogether. It just doesn't work. You have to pick one. You're either going to follow God or you're going to follow man. And again, the results are very different based on the decisions that we choose. And by following man, I also mean following your heart. The results are going to be very different. One is going to have the outcome of pleasing God, bringing glory to God, and leading you to this path of righteousness, and leading you to this water, and leading you to blessings and life everlasting. And the other outcome is going to be destruction for you. So there's no two ways about it. When you follow your heart or you follow man, you're only going to experience destruction in your life. Another way to look at it is that you're either going to continue to struggle with anxiety and stress and heartbreak, or you're going to put your trust in God in order to obtain his peace. So you decide, you choose, which path do you want to take? Jeremiah 17, it says, look, they are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. And so when we think about that phrase, and the Bible makes a lot of agricultural references, but when we think about that phrase, stunted shrubs in the desert, stunting is this agricultural term. And it's a common symptom of plant disease. And so it results in a tree or plant being reduced in size and also having this loss of vigor. Think about it in biological terms. Stunting occurs. There's a quote that says, stunting occurs when a child does not have sufficient nutrition to grow and develop. This can be caused by a poor diet alone, but it's often exacerbated by disease and poor health. And so why is that important to hear, both in the biological and agricultural terms? From the agricultural term sense, Jeremiah puts it in those terms, stunted shrubs. From a biological standpoint, it's something that we can wrap our hands around, right? We've heard this phrase that you're going to stunt your growth if you drink too much caffeine, or gymnasts oftentimes might be told, like, hey, you're going to be short forever. But the reality is that when we follow our heart instead of following God, we aren't growing. We aren't developing as we should be, as God intends for us. Apart from God, we have no strength. We have no energy. We have no enthusiasm. Talk about loss of vigor. We're useless to both ourselves and to others when we choose to follow our heart and not God. And ultimately, we have no hope and we have no future. We can't give ourselves hope. God does. God, our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in who God says he is and in his word and his promises is what gives us hope. And trusting and relying in God, on God and having faith gives us future. Man can't give us those things. John chapter 15, verse 4-8 puts it this way. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. This is Jesus talking. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, again, my heart follows and trusts the Lord, and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers, right? Sounds very similar. Stunted shrubs. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Verse 7, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings glory. This brings great glory to my Father. So let's look at this from Jeremiah chapter 17 again. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Something that is barren cannot produce life or vegetation. And so apart from God, what Jesus is saying here is that, hey, we won't survive. We won't thrive apart from God. If that's the reality of what we're facing when we choose to trust in man and not God, then we're not going to produce any life. We're not going to produce any vegetation. We're not going to be able to thrive. You may survive. You may survive this life. But at the end of this life, when your time expires, you are going to find yourself in a pit of hell because you chose to go in a different direction than what God has intended for us and what God has called us to do, right? So something that is barren cannot produce life or vegetation. There's this other phrase, uninhabited salting land. And there's a phrase that's also featured in the Bible called salting the earth, or sowing with salt. And so this is a ritual of spreading salt on the sites of cities raised by conquerors. And it originated as a curse on re-inhabitation. And so when someone would salt the earth or salt the land after they conquered a certain people group, they would essentially be cursing the land and helping it or making it not be able to produce a harvest or produce vegetation. And so we see this. This is best known. There's an example in of salting of Shechem in Judges chapter 9, verse 45. Here's what it says. It says, the battle went on all day before Abimelech finally captured the city. He killed the people, leveled the city, and scattered salt all over the ground. And so this was a way of cursing the land. So this is why relationships that are not built on a foundation of Jesus Christ fail. This is why you can't produce anything good when God is not in the equation. And so again, February is typically this month where we talk about relationships and love, but we've focused on guarding our hearts because we understand that if we don't guard our hearts, if our hearts are not in the right place, if our hearts do not trust God, it doesn't matter how well we think we love or how well we think we build relationships. Without this foundation of Jesus Christ, every single relationship will fail. It will turn to nothing. Right? If you've struggled to build deep relationships or lasting relationships, if you've struggled to keep relationships from withering, chances are you are busy following your heart, which keeps getting you in trouble instead of following God. Right? So that is my challenge to you. Are you cursing your own heart by choosing to follow your heart or to follow man as opposed to putting your trust in God? What do your relationships look like? Take a survey of your relationships and think about, have you established a foundation that is rooted in Christ in that relationship? Is your heart in the right place before you go into the relationship? Is your partner's heart in the right place? Because chances are, if your relationships are failing, if they're turning into nothingness, then you don't have the right foundation in place. And it starts with your heart. So that's what Jeremiah tells us. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. The next thing that we got to write down that Jeremiah tells us is this: blessed are those who follow God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 through 8. Here's what it says. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. They never stop producing fruit because they trust in the Lord. If you want to continue to build fruit, both in your relationships, in your businesses, in your family, whatever it is, the way that the tip or the trick to continually producing fruit is to put your trust in the Lord, regardless of the circumstance. Regardless, it's not about putting my trust in man to give me a promotion. It's not about putting my trust in a partner that this would be a great relationship. All of that is good and well. But at the end of the day, if I want to produce fruit, if I want to be blessed, if I want my roots to go deep into the water where I can tap in to that life source, that source that's going to produce life continually, then I have to put my trust in God. Jeremiah says the blessed person is like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. And so again, agricultural terms, trees that are planted by riverbanks have several purposes. And what I appreciate about trees planted by riverbanks, never thought I would say that, but what I appreciate about trees planted by riverbanks is that there's a benefit both for the health of the tree, but also the health of the habitat it's planted in. Hear this pretty clearly. Again, there's a benefit for both the health of the tree. So when you are rooted in Jesus Christ, when you put your faith and your heart is in God's hands, then you are going to benefit both yourself, but also the habitat, the people, the surroundings that you are planted in as well. So again, from an agricultural sense, here are some benefits of trees being planted by a riverbank. They provide shelter for fish, wildlife, and insects. During hot temperatures, areas of shade help produce the temperature of the water, help reduce the temperature of the water, which reduces the risk of drought. When leaves drop, they provide important nutrients and food for organisms, which are food to trout and birds. And then trees act as natural sponges. They collect and filter rainfall and slow the flow. And then the last thing that benefits of trees planted by riverbanks is that they capture carbon dioxide in their leaves and roots. And so when our hearts are turned toward God and we follow him, not only are we blessed again, but those connected to us are blessed as well. Jeremiah prophesies that the person who trusts in the Lord, he basically says they're like a taproot, right? And again, in agriculture, the main function of a taproot is to provide deep anchorage. It also aids in the absorption of nutrients and water from the soil. So when I'm like a taproot, again, I'm going to the source. If you want to get to the source of blessings, your heart has to be in the right place. If you want to be anchored deeply and unmovable, you have to be anchored. Your heart's got to be anchored in the Lord. And so when we're anchored in Jesus Christ, we don't get bothered or worried about things when they're not going our way. When relationships fail or connections are splintered, because we know that God is still good, that even in dry seasons, right, when things may not be going well, he makes a river in the middle of the desert. So we want to be like that taproot. We want to tap into the source. We want to be connected so deeply to God and experience the blessings of the Lord in our relationships, in our family, in our jobs, in our connections with people. But the way to do that is for our hearts to be turned towards God. Again, Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. When you follow God and you know his peace, you'll be unbothered, right? Don't we all want to experience being unbothered, where things around us don't get us down? We've been living in a culture where a lot of the things around us tend to influence us. And so the way to be unbothered by these things is to really follow God and know his peace. You won't be consumed with fear when things get challenging, when things don't go our way, when you have disagreements in your relationships or you go through a rough patch in life, because you know that in spite of these things, God is still covering you. So you gotta build this connection with God that starts with your heart. If you don't guard your heart, if you don't guard your heart from these things that can come and penetrate your heart and impact you or influence you so deeply, then you're going to miss the blessings of God. But when you turn your heart towards God, when you ensure that you're rooted in Jesus Christ, then the things that are around you don't influence you, right? No weapon formed against you will prosper. These things won't penetrate. Doesn't mean that they won't be formed. Doesn't mean that you won't have troubles. Doesn't mean that you won't have trials or tribulations, but when your heart is guarded, these things can't penetrate your spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, this is a life verse of mine. Being rooted in Jesus Christ as a follower of Jesus, this is a life verse for me. It says, I will not be unsettled by these trials, for we know quite well that we are destined for them. And so when I am following God, when I know his peace, I'm unbothered. I'm not unsettled by difficult times or difficult trials. And when your heart is in the right place, you experience the same thing. Jeremiah says this. He says, their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And so no matter the circumstances, a heart that follows God will always bear fruit in and out of season. To be like a tree planted by streams of water is to be like one who has a regular supply of nourishment and refreshment. Plants growing near water are easily sustained and they can thrive. So this is why it's important for us to be connected to the source. Water is described and known as this ultimate source of life for a tree. So to be planted by water is to have this regular supply. When we are planted, when our hearts are planted in God, we have this regular supply. Jeremiah 17 verse 10 teaches us that the one who trusts in God will not be free from trials and adversity, but God will bring fruit and blessing in and through those difficulties, that difficult season. And it'll feel like that tree that's planted, that's growing near water, that constantly has this supply of nourishment and refreshment so that when things get tough, you are replenished, right? Like your spirit is reinvigorated because you are connected to the source. This is what Jeremiah means when he says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, your supply never runs out. So no matter what is happening around you, you are covered. You are covered. So again, the two things that Jeremiah 17 teaches us. Cursed are those who put their trust in man. Cursed are those who follow the heart. But blessed are those who follow God. The last thing Jeremiah says in chapter 17, verses 9 through 10, here's what he says. He says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, verse 10, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. So my challenge to you is, what do your actions deserve? Where have you put your trust? Who have you trusted your heart with? Where have you put who have you confided in? Who have you put your trust in? Because if it's not the Lord, if you're not allowing the peace of God to guard your heart, then I'm telling you now that the word of God says it very clearly. The Lord searches all hearts and examines secret motives. He gives people their due rewards. So it's either we're cursed because we've put our trust in man and we've followed our heart, or we're blessed because we've trusted in God. The heart is our inner self. It's where we think, it's how we feel and how we act. It's this central part of man. But if it's deceitful and wicked, why would we follow our hearts? We get into this trap of following our feelings as well. And if those things are rooted in the heart, that's why we can experience devastation. That's why we can experience terrible things, because we're following our heart. We're following our feelings when feelings are really meant to just be data, not directives. And so where are you putting your trust? Where are you putting your heart? If you're putting it in your hands and trusting your feelings, then you're missing the blessings of the Lord in your relationships, in your connections with people. You are missing the Lord. Because when we follow our hearts, we end up cursing ourselves. We don't help ourselves when we follow our hearts. So that advice that you get, hey, follow your heart. Whatever it is, man, hey, follow your heart and can't steer you wrong. Absolutely, it will steer you wrong. Again, Jeremiah tells us that we're cursed when we follow our hearts, when we follow, you know, when we put our trust in man and we turn our hearts away from the Lord. We're not helping ourselves. We're doing ourselves a disservice. However, Jeremiah is clear on the other side of the coin. When we follow God, when we seek to do his will, this is when we experience the blessings of the Lord. This is a quote that I want to share as we kind of conclude our message here. It says, God's idea for your life is not that you would follow your heart, but that you would guard it. So that's my challenge to you. When things get rough, when things get challenging, when you don't know where to turn, I would caution you and I would challenge you, don't just follow your heart. Follow God, pray, get into his word, hear from God before you make a decision. You know, one of the things that I try to do and try to be intentional about is when I'm faced with a difficult decision that has pretty big implications and even small decisions, one of the things I like to do is I like to tell myself and I like to talk to God, and I'm praying in those moments. And one of the things that I'll say is, all right, Lord, you decide. Because my decision was to turn it over to God. And so in doing that, I'm saying, okay, Lord, you decide. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you say to do, I am all ears. I'm tuned into your frequency. You decide. And whatever you decide, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to make that decision. And what it does is it takes the power out of my hands. It takes the power out of my heart. It takes the power out of my feelings. And so if I believe that God is telling me to step out in a certain season or to make a certain decision, and I've been intentional about turning that decision over and saying, all right, Lord, you decide, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to trust what I hear from the Lord. And if the Lord says, go left, I'm going left. If he says, go right, I'm going right. If he says, turn around and run and get out of there as fast as you can, I am getting out of there as fast as I can, because I've been intentional about turning the decision over to the Lord. And at that point, my responsibility is to be obedient. That also says, I trust you, Lord, that whatever it is you decide, I trust you. It's out of my hands. It's out of my decision-making ability. I trust you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God who created heaven and earth, the one who's made perfect decisions throughout his life on earth. I trust in Jesus Christ with this decision. And when I do that, it is my commitment and it's my intentionality to not rely on my feelings, not rely on my desires, not rely on what I want, but I am in tune with the Lord, and I am doing his will. And so again, the last quote, it says, God's idea for your life is not that you would follow your heart, but that you would guard it. And that is my prayer for you as well. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, I thank you for every single person that is listening or watching this message. Every single person that struggled with guarding their heart. They've made some poor decisions, God. Lord, I pray that today's message would encourage them and push them and challenge them towards ensuring that they no longer follow their heart. They no longer base decisions off of how they feel, but they put their trust in you, Lord. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 17, if we put our trust in you, we are blessed. So God, I pray that we would remove every single obstacle, every single barrier that impedes us from trusting you wholeheartedly, God. And today we make a decision to trust you with every fiber in our being. And we thank you, Lord, for how you're going to get the glory out of that. We thank you for how you're going to bless us. And Lord, I pray that even if we don't see the result that we wanted to see right away, we would be consistent with trusting you and turning our decisions, turning our heart towards you, knowing that when we make the opposite decision, when we turn away from you, when we turn our hearts from you, God, and your word says that we are cursed. But Lord, I believe that we are blessed people, God, because we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. A real practical way to put your trust in the Lord and turn your heart towards him is in this moment right now. And in just a few seconds, we're going to pray this prayer of salvation. And there's no magic in the prayer, but what you're doing is you're saying out loud, yeah, I'm putting my trust in you. I am guarding my heart. I'm allowing it to be put into your hands. I'm no longer turning my heart away from you, Lord. I am putting it in your hands, trusting that I will be blessed as a result. And it's your will, God, that I would trust you in every aspect of my life. And so we're going to pray this prayer out loud. And again, there's no magic in the prayer, but it gives us an opportunity to declare out loud that we are putting our trust in the Lord. So maybe you've prayed this prayer before and you need to make a decision to come back to Christ. Or maybe you never prayed a prayer of salvation and this is your first ever opportunity to come to find the Lord and to make him Lord of your life. Wherever you're at on that spectrum, let's pray this prayer out loud, regardless of who's around us or who's in the room. Let's pray this prayer out loud, making a declaration of what God is doing on the inside of our heart. And so let's pray this all together. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So today I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. With this profession of faith, today, in this moment, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, you just prayed the best prayer you're ever gonna pray in your life. And that is a prayer where you are surrendering your heart over to God and you're saying, be Lord of my life. And with that, again, there's no magic, but the practical way that you walk that out is by doing three simple things. One, you start getting into community. Find a community where you can find a sense of belonging, where you can be encouraged by someone else's faith, but you can also encourage someone's faith. And then you got to start reading his word. You got to dig in to understand what the word of God says about you and understand who God is through his word. And then the last thing you got to do is you got to start talking to God. Every good relationship is built on healthy communication. And so you got to start talking to God and you got to start hearing what God has to say to you. Start learning to understand what his voice sounds like to you. And let me tell you, when you do those three things, we believe here at The Grove, when you do those three things, that your life is going to change exponentially. And it's gonna get better and better and better. You're gonna have some hard times, you're gonna have some trials, but let me tell you, when you have the peace of God guarding your heart, those tough times, those challenges feel just a little bit easier to walk through because you have the confidence and you have the wherewithal to trust the Lord that he's going to see you through those things. So I pray that you've prayed that prayer with us. If you haven't and you want to, but maybe you're just not ready, what better time is right now in this moment? So I encourage you to pray that prayer, make that decision today, and believe that God is going to change your life.